Hey everyone, and welcome to That Guy's a Maniac, the podcast DS. We are a podcast about video games, sometimes. My name is Richie. With me is Farley, aka Kunzy11, who will say hi and explain why we are called DS this season and tell you where to find us on the internet.
Hello, welcome to season 4 of the podcast. This season we're called DS after the Nintendo DS. We have two halves, like the Nintendo DS has two screens. And each episode we pick a random D and a random S from the big bag of D's and the big bag of S's to randomly generate our episode title. Isn't that fun, everybody? Richie, here's a bag of D's, pick a D.
You haven't told people where to find us on the internet.
Well, we can get there in a bit.
Okay.
You're already ruffling through, so.
Yeah, okay. I got a big
stop
D
rustling
here.
Now. No, Richie, you've got one. You need to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Get your hand out the bag of D. I'm rustling in the bag of S's. I've got snap. Didn't snap.
Didn't snap. You can stop rustling, Farley. Yeah.
Oh my god, I can't even help myself. My bag is being rustled by me. Before we jump into whatever that nonsense is about, you can find us at www.thatguys.co.uk and you can find us on all the socials at thatguysamaniac, all one word, all lowercase. Richie, how's it punctuated?
All one word, all lowercase.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, did DNA snap?
How could we construct an episode around DNA and snap?
Well, DNA, if you were not aware, readers, is a little electric type a Pokemon, adorable little mouse with a plug-like tail, and is one of the Pikachu clones, which is a term generated by the community. A folk taxonomy, if you like. Richie, what is a Pikachu clone?
A Pikachu clone is usually a small mammal-like Pokemon, which also has electric patches on its cheeks, usually, and is usually an electric type, sometimes paired with another one.
Yes. Except when it isn't any of those things, but broadly speaking, that is the kind of rule.
Yeah.
Mostly one stage electric type Pokemon that sort of look like Pikachu through different mirrors, I guess.
Yeah, Pikachu in the multiverse.
Yeah. What if? It really is like a what if of the Pikachus.
Yeah.
Almost every generation, there are 9 generations, have had a Pikachu clone, debatably. Richie, you've done no research for this episode, for a change.
Yep.
Pikachu is obviously the Pikachu of the first generation, Pokemon Red, Blue, Green, yep. Yellow. Who would you say is the Pikachu clone of Generation 2?
Well, there's secretly a Pikachu clone of Generation 1 as well. Raichu.
No, I wouldn't say Raichu is a Pikachu clone.
He's allowed to exist because he's, yeah.
He's okay. Too big,
and he's also an evolution. Slightly different, yeah.
And not very cute.
Well, yeah, no.
I think. But yeah.
Do you ever evolve your Pikachus when you were playing any version?
So, for those of you who don't know, when they released Pokemon Yellow, which was it Pokemon Yellow Special Pikachu version, I think is what it was called, which was kind of like the first Red, Green, Blue, but this is after the anime had come out and had been a huge success. So it was partly inspired by the anime. So you have, you're followed
inspired by how successful Pikachu was and how everybody wanted merchandise of Pikachu. Yes.
So you had a little Pikachu following around, but if you evolved that Pikachu, he would no longer follow you around and there's no way to get it back. You'd have to restart your game. And that's why people really like having your Pokemon kind of follow you around.
Yeah.
So across the generations, I do have, you know, I've got one or two Raichu and an Alolan Raichu, but some special ones. So for example, there was a 25th anniversary giveaway at Pokemon centers in Japan, which I got when I was there, which is a special Pikachu. So I've not evolved that. I've got one in the virtual console version of Pokemon Yellow, which I'm probably not going to evolve. There's a gift Pikachu in Sword and Shield, which could Gigantamax into the old school Chubbachu.
Oh, yeah.
Which I called Chubbachu. Not evolved that one either, just in case Gigantamax ever comes back. But spare a thought, because you've not been able to evolve a Pikachu into an Alolan Raichu since Sun and Moon.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, you can do like a dirty trade in, I think, Let's Go, and maybe Sword and Shield if you have a Raichu. I think I might be wrong on Sword and Shield, but yeah, it's just stuck.
I see Alolan Raichus all the time because of Go.
Oh yeah,
kind of feel like they're always there.
Yeah,
so I guess with Go you could just transfer one over as well.
You can do, yeah. But if you wanted to, you know, shiny hunt or ribbon quest or get a whatever, it's very hard to do for Alolan and Pikachu. Anyway, what would you say Generation 2's Pikachu clone is? Not really a Pikachu clone.
Nah, it's the pre-evolution.
It is. It is the adorable Pichu. Which is like a baby. Is it a baby?
It's a baby Pokemon. Yeah. So
a baby.
There was something about the baby Pokemons. They can't breed.
Yes.
So, Igglybuff and Cliffa. And
Bonsly. Why not?
Yeah. They can't breed. They just have their... They have to have a pre-evolution eggs. Magby and Elekid as well.
Of course. And Smoochum.
Smoochum, yeah.
Is Togepi a baby Pokemon? This is a question.
I think he was probably retconned into being one.
I hate that line. I hate having to evolve Togetix and Togekisses all the time.
Yeah.
So yeah, Pikachu's like a diminutized version of Pikachu. Do you remember, was it spiky-eared Pichu that stuck in one of the games?
Oh yeah. You got a spiky-eared Pichu.
Yeah.
That was like a giveaway as well, one of the first giveaways as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's never been.
Yeah.
Never been transferable, sadly. So not really a Pikachu clone, more like a. In the Pikachu
Prevo.
Line.
Yeah.
Prevo, then Generation 3 did something interesting. Do you know the Pikachu clones in Generation 3? Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire?
Okay, so I want to say...
Yeah.
Minun and... Minus? Negus? I can't remember. Minun and... Positu and Negachu.
Plusle,
thank you. Plusle and Minun, yeah.
Yeah, so in that universe, they split Pikachu.
But they were more like Pichu clones than they were Pikachu clones.
Well, yeah, because Pichu is less than Pikachu, right?
Yeah.
It evolves into it. And then because they split, you know, ideologically... split it into two. You couldn't have them both being as strong as Pikachu. So they are a bit crappy. But they're part of the crap pair Pokemon they introduced in Generation 3. Do you remember the others?
Oh, gosh. There was a couple, and they basically had... because you could do double battles.
Yeah.
You had the ability to... They had, like, a thing... a special ability that's like, if Plusle's on the field then your electric moves are increased, or if Nega chews on the field, then you get plus two HP or something. I can't remember exactly what it was. That doubt is plus two HP. That's not a Pokemon thing.
Negachu and Pozichu. So the abilities were plus and minus. Very inventive.
Yeah.
When battling with plus or minus, special attack increases by 50%.
Yeah, but you had other weird Pokemon that had plus as well. Like, I think it was like a hidden ability for Nose Pass or something like that.
What? I did not know this.
Yeah, you had stupid Pokemon that had plus. Check Serebii for the.
I am doing it now, because then both of them have a hidden ability which isn't minus or plus.
Okay. Is it rubbish?
It's Lightning Rod, which is...
Okay.
I mean, so Pokemon which can have plus just straight up as their ability. Clink, clang, cling, clang. Fucking hell.
Yeah.
And Toxtricity. And then hidden abilities is Mareep, Flaffy, Ampharos, and another Pikachu clone.
Oh, right. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't think of any of the other pairs.
Yeah, the ship insects.
Oh, was it like Zangoose and what's his face?
Survivor.
Yeah.
No, they're more the rival pairs.
Oh, okay. But did they not have something where they increase each other's stats?
No, I think they do have rivalry just as a generic ability, but nothing specific.
Maybe
to them.
Yeah.
And in X and Y, where you could spawn hordes of Pokemon, which is a good way to shiny hunt.
Yeah, you could get it. Yeah.
You could spawn a Zangoose with a bunch of Survivor, and they'd attack each other.
It's the worst thing in the world. Like, oh my god, there's a shiny Seviper.
I know.
Oh my god, there's four Zangooses.
Yeah. I'm gonna throw it really hard.
Zangooses.
The other crappy pairs, which is fresh in my mind because they were two thirds of them are back in the Pokemon Violet DLC, but one of them isn't. Volbeat and Illumise.
Oh, yeah.
The light bug.
Yep. Like the musical thing as well. They have like their whole thing is their like composery style.
They're like a quaver as part of their design.
Yeah. Volbeat.
An Illumise?
Maybe. I don't know where the musical sort of thing comes in there.
Yeah. But they didn't have... I'm just learning. They didn't have complementary abilities. Just...
Yeah, no, they're probably rubbish.
Yeah, I mean, they are rubbish. Oh, great, I compare them up. Awful. Good shinies there. And the other pair is Solrock and Lunatone.
Solrock and Lunatone, yeah, of course.
The crap rock and psychics. Yeah. Very good. So that's Gen 3. Gen 4?
Right. Help me with Gen 4. Actually, wait a minute. Just to go quickly back.
Yeah.
I said Zangoose.
Yeah.
It's got a great big lightning strike right across its belly.
It
is a mammal. Does it fall into Pikachu clone territory?
It's not electric.
Is it worth a shout out? Is it worth a shout out? There are definitely Pikachu clones that do not have electric. You know.
I don't think there are.
I could name one right now, but I'm not gonna wait until we get to the right. So Gen 4, remind me of some of the Pokemon of Gen 4 so that I can
Everything in Arceus Legends. Think about running around in Arceus Legends.
Arceus Legends. Okay, that's okay.
Don't know.
Emolga?
No. It begins with P.
Gen.
P.
Oh, Pachirisu.
Pachirisu.
It's just like somebody has mispronounced Pikachu.
Someone heard Pikachu, like, through a wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pachirisu. But my favorite Pokemon is Pachirisu.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is basically
sneezed halfway through saying Pikachu.
Yeah. It's basically a squirrel.
Yeah.
And a squirrel to Pikachu's mouse.
It's just white.
White and blue.
Yeah. And what makes it special? Does it have any cool abilities? Is it rubbish as every? Did it not like win something? Was it not like
did.
Yeah, there it was a tournament.
Did it's one of the most. It's one of the. Occasionally, the Pokemon community finds any excuse to fight against each other, and one long-standing fight in the community is around kind of viability and tiers. And some people say you should play with your favorite Pokemon, and other people are like, there's no point because of the 1,000 odd. Most of them have no role, are just absolutely rubbish. But there was a Pokemon Worlds winning champion who kind of came up with a really quirky role for Pachirisu, which had no viability, you know, the entire season or beforehand. It was, you know, it's not one of these ones that was on everybody's team and managed to go all the way and win the world championship with one on his team. And he's now like the kind of poster example of every Pokemon potentially has its niche.
Nice.
But it doesn't really have much going for it, no.
Do you know what the tech was?
I think it's just very cleverly built the stats to kind of resist
the top tiers.
Yeah, the top tiers, and then it's not. I mean, this base stats are pretty bad: 60 HP, 45 attack, 70 defense, 95 speed, 90 special defense, 45 special attack. But it was the move Nuzzle, I think, which is.
Oh, does it do like
guaranteed paralysis? Yeah. And chip damage. Because like its ability has nothing really going on there. Runaway, pick up, vault absorb. Okay, maybe with the last one, but I just really liked it, made it work, but that's really the only, like, looking at this page on Serebii, there's really nothing else going for it. Like, this doesn't have a niche, or there's not like some signature move, or just a totally mediocre
Nuzzle
Pokemon. Yeah.
Okay.
There we go. Then we've got Gen 5, which you already mentioned.
Oh, is that Emolga?
Is Emolga?
Yep. The flying squirrel, and it does have a typing, doesn't it? A change in typing.
Yes, it's electric and flying, I believe.
Electric and flying, because we've never had that combination ever.
It's not good. Well, it's kind of good. It gives you an immunity, but you pick up several weaknesses.
Yeah, an immunity to ground. You can just bring Emolga in when nobody expects a lightning Pokemon to switch into a ground type.
Yeah. So, yeah. Pachirisu is a squirrel Pikachu. Emolga is a flying squirrel Pikachu.
Cool.
Nothing else to say.
Nothing else. I don't think I've ever.
There's that annoying gym leader who has it and just does nothing but vault switch over and over again.
Ugh. Yeah. Ugh.
Brings it in, vault switch out, brings it in, vault switch out. Like, okay, great. Thanks.
Great.
I think it's that model gym leader with the crazy ear bud antennae things.
No idea. You could see anyone.
I'm mostly
Philip the green the gym leader with Emolga.
I'm mostly remember it's like Pokemon Masters, which is really ingraining all these gym leaders in my mind, because in previous games you fight them once and then you never ever have any reason to ever think about them or go and see them again.
Yeah.
Oh, what is her name?
Doesn't matter. Doesn't
it does.
Matter at all.
It's called Elisa. Alyssa? Alyssa? Electric? Eliga? Alyssa.
Alyssa.
E-L-E-S-A.
Okay.
Her beach outfit is quite interesting.
Interesting. Oh dear. You perving over Alyssa.
Wow, that's what it's there for. The Shining Beauty. Oh no, it's not her beach outfit. It's, she has a costume change between black and black 2.
Oh, okay.
Then we have Generation 6. We go to France.
Okay, so we're off to France. We've got the Froufrous.
We've got the Froufrous, we've got the Vivians.
Yeah. So, is that Dédéné?
Dédéné!
Dédéné! Okay, what's special about Dédéné? Tell me about Dédéné.
Dédéné is very cute. It's really small as well.
Okay.
It's like a baby, but it's not a baby. Doesn't really have HP 67, attack 58, defense 57, special attack 81, special defense 67, speed 101. Pretty fast.
Pretty fast.
Ability Cheek Pouch. Gets HP when it eats a berry. So whenever it eats a berry, it also restores HP.
Well, that's quite nice. So you could have like a status effect one and also get some healies.
A bit of HP, which you need with the fairly middling HP stat. And this is the one that has plus as a hidden ability.
Oh, nice. So it's secretly evolved from plus at you.
It's a baby of... If two plusles or two minnons have a baby... it also has another type in addition to electric. Can you remember what it is?
I'm gonna say fairy.
Yeah, fairy.
Yeah. I nearly said psychic.
Yeah, when in doubt, psychic's always an option.
Yeah, fairy.
Yeah. That's okay. Dédéné, I guess.
Yep.
Then Gen 7, we go to Alola, Hawaii.
Okay. So this is one I was going to mention before.
Oh yeah.
The definitive Pikachu clone that isn't a Pikachu clone.
Right.
It doesn't have electric.
What?
Mimikyu.
No.
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 Is that not Gen 7?
It is, but I don't think it's a Pikachu clone.
I mean...
if there wasn't a Pikachu clone, I'd let you have it. If there wasn't a Pikachu clone, I'd let you have it, but there is one for Gen 7.
Okay. But you're definitely getting Mimikyu as well. That is, it is literally in the name. It is a Pikachu clone. But, so there's another little electric rat.
Yeah, yeah. Doesn't evolve. Has cheek pouches, has little round cheeks.
Oh, is it the hedgehog one? Metal one?
Yeah.
Steel. Oh, God, what's his name? Oh, my God. I've forgotten. So it's steel and electric, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's a hedgehog.
It's a hedgehog. The iron barbs is the ability. Mentor HP. Oh, no, not at all. Lies.
Okay, I can't remember its name.
Togedemaru.
Oh, God. I was not anywhere near.
And it is next to Mimikyu in the Pokédex. Here's a fun fact for you. Togedemaru's Pokedex number is 777.
Okay.
Lucky sevens.
My telephone number in my house used to start with 777.
Really?
Yeah.
If you're playing a fruit machine, you get 777. really good.
If you get 777 in Final Fantasy 7, you get lucky. 7, and you get crazy.
Oh, Seba Biba!
Yeah. Right, okay, enough of that.
Togedemaru has a signature move. Do you remember what it is?
No, I don't. I think I caught one and it was boxed and never thought about it ever again.
The signature move is Zing Zap.
Zing Zap. And what does Zing Zap do?
It is a strong electric blast. It crashes down on the target, giving electric shock. This may also make the target flinch. It's a physical electric move with base power 80, accuracy of 100.
Okay.
Solid.
Fine.
Yeah.
I got nothing bad to say about it. Fine.
No.
So what gen are we on now?
That was 7. And then we move into the Switch games, if you're ready. Although, do we want to discuss Mimikyu?
I think we have to. Like, Mimikyu, as much as it is a ghost type and a fairy type wearing a costume, still trying to be Pikachu, do you know?
Is it a Pikachu it's mimic designed, rather than a Pikachu clone?
Yeah. It is still riding on the coattails of Pikachu, which you could argue all of the other clones are doing as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's put me in a bind because at the end I was going to get us to rate, you know, who's the best Pikachu clone, and mine would have been Mimikyu, but...
Yeah, 100%. He's special. Like, okay, Mimikyu has to have a point to discuss when you're talking about Pikachu clones.
Yeah.
Let's not rate him for the reasons that it is a ghost and...
fairy.
Fairy type.
And would automatically win the competition.
Yeah, exactly.
Unanimously.
Yeah, Mimikyu exists. It is kind of a Pikachu clone, but it's not enough to actually remain in our list of Pikachu clones.
A definitive, not at all folk taxonomy community term bullshit.
Yeah.
Definitive, 100% unofficial list.
I mean, if you'd have spoke to me at the start of this episode, I would have been like, yeah, Mimikyu, absolutely. But I see where you're going. Because it's not even a mammal anymore. It's a weird ghost thing.
It's a ghost thing in a bag.
Yeah.
Then we move... Yeah. To England. And Scotland.
England and Scotland to... Galar.
Galar. Who's the Pikachu clone in Galar, mate?
Okay. Trying to think.
It's the signature Pokemon of one of your rivals, if that helps.
Oh, yeah, the Marley. Marley?
Yeah.
She has a little hamster.
Yeah.
And it goes, it has a weird thing where it turns emo.
Hangry,
yes.
It goes hangry mode. More Pekko.
Again, like, oh, cool, yeah, what a great concept. Banked. Banked so hard. Like,
so the gimmick is, it's just so tedious. Like, even if you were trying to go with its signature move, is it each turn? Is it just each turn? Yeah. It changes from its full belly mode to hangry mode. And all that really does is it stays electric and dark. But its signature move, Aura Wheel, which is 110 physical attack with 100% accuracy.
Yeah.
Changes from dark to electric depending on if it's going to use it hangry or not.
I actually tuned out the mid you talking about that, and yeah, I'm not interested.
I'm quite maybe you could do something. 110 with 100. Always stab's
quite good.
Yeah,
but it's probably got rubbish base stats.
Well, let's have a look at the ship base stats, shall we? 50 HP, 95 attack, That's over 300.
Yeah.
58 defense, 70 special attack, 58 special defense, 97 speed.
Yeah, that's not doing anything. It's not even a sweeper.
Gimmick mon.
Yeah, to complete gimmick mon.
So we've got baby split into two, just a squirrel, a flying squirrel, a really tiny, spiky one, changing mode, and then that brings us bang up to date in Paldea. Who's the Pikachu clone in our sort of Spain based region?
Our sort of Spain based region. Now, the only electric type that I can think of is the Bun Dog.
Daxbun?
Daxbun, yeah.
That's fairy, I think.
Yeah, oh, it is fairy, yeah. But is it not fairy and electric? No. Oh, no, I know what it is. It's Pawmy or something like that.
Pawmy.
Is it a two-stage or three-stage evolution?
It has three stages. Pawmy, Pawmo, Pawmot.
Yeah, and it still has the cheek pouches.
It still has cheek pouches. It has the weird big arms. It looks like some Jim Henson puppet.
I'm sure it has a good origin, a good reason for having those big arms as well.
And to evolve it, you have to walk.
Yeah.
Side by side for 1,000 steps or whatever. Which is trivial to do, but just slightly annoying. And when I was playing pretty much on launch, nobody really knew how to evolve it. So it's like one of the first ones you get.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, why won't this thing evolve? According to trivia, Pawmot seems to be based on a marmot. Oh, that's good.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Little rodent.
Yeah, alpine rodent, which was reintroduced in the Pyrenees Mountains in 1948, long after its extinction. So Pyrenees, Iberia, Spain. And its ability to discharge electricity from its paws might be inspired by defibrillators.
Oh, that's quite cool.
And
yeah,
it learns the crazy move Revival Blessing.
Ah, there we go.
Oh, that is brilliant, actually.
Yeah, the defibrillator Pokemon. Brilliant.
Okay. I was about to launch into how I hate it and I hate its design and I think it's the worst Pikachu clone. But
secretly it's coming in at number one.
Secretly my new favourite. My new favourite Pikachu clone. That's great. But unlike the other Pikachu clones, it does have more than one stage. Which
yes.
is like Pikachu.
Yeah, it makes it more Pikachu. But yeah, the definition of a Pikachu clone is it doesn't really.
Yeah. Even though Pikachu does. None of the others do. Apart from Pawmy, Pawmo, Pawmo. So there we go. Those are all the Pikachu clones. I don't think that's ever been kind of formally acknowledged or mentioned by the Pokemon company at all.
No.
Aside from, you know, most of these having appeared on merchandise or more merchandisable than most. Who would you say is the best Pikachu clone?
I think we're going to go with Pawmy.
Yeah, fuck it. It's gone from zero to hero with that.
He really has, yeah.
With that piece of trivia. I will just see it as a walking defibrillator Pokemon who brings them back with Revival Blessing. I don't know if you've seen. I don't think there's a couple of Pokemon who learn Revival Blessing. I think the Dung Beetle one does.
Yes, Scarab.
Rabska, is it?
Yeah, Rabscarab, because it's Scarab backwards or something like that.
Yes, but it just makes me think of Rabsy Nesbit every time I see it.
Brilliant.
Every time I see them bobbing around in the wild. There's some really fun builds where you basically explode, have a mental high attack like a golem, does explosion. Rabska's hidden ability is telepathy, then it does revival blessing, and then you do it again.
Yeah.
It brings them back with half HP. That's the Pikachu clones. Didn't they?
Yeah. Any other mentions? Is there any other like rodents or?
Well, there's Rattata, Raticate.
Yeah. The mouse family thing.
Ah, oh, Tandemouse and Mousehold.
Yeah, let's not do this because there's other things. Just like Oh yes, another honourable mention.
Yeah.
I would say would be Marill.
Oh, Pika Blue.
Pika Blue.
So, for those of you who weren't around or don't remember, before the second generation came out, a handful of Pokemon appeared in other things, one of which was Marill, which is like...
Well, the anime, it was the Orange Islands had all of these Pokemon that came out before the second generation came out. So you had Misty with a little Togepi, and you had Marill with... what was his name? Tracy? Is it Tracy?
Yeah, Tracy. Yeah. I think it's in the short film before... the first Pokemon movie has Marill and Snubbull in it. Anyway, when they were like, this is pre everyone getting information from Japan at the same time as well. So when there's like photos or scans or photocopies of screenshots going around, one of which was Marill, which is this big blue ball based on a boy, and there's this theory of it was called Pika Blue, and it was like a blue Pikachu in the new generation. Utter bollocks, but a lot of people still remember that.
Looks like a water version. Like if you were to do an evolution of, like, I don't know, a mouse, and then the electric evolution was Pikachu, the water evolution would definitely be Marill.
Yeah. I can see where it comes from.
Yeah.
Until they turned it into like a giant fighting, a fairy water thing.
Oh yeah, Azumarill. Yeah.
And Azurill, another baby.
Yeah.
I think it's time for the middle of the podcast, Richie.
Yeah, it really is. Middle of the podcast. Da-de-de-de-de-de-de.
Break time.
Break time.
Okay. In the middle of the podcast, we mark the halfway point and we ask each other two questions from the ultimate video game trivia card game quiz. Quiz trivia. Richie, do you have a card?
Yes, I do.
I do as well.
Cool.
I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay, hit me.
Which 2010 Xbox 360 game by Remedy Entertainment is set in the small mountain town of Bright Falls?
Bright Falls.
Bright Falls.
Is it Silent Hill?
yes.
Brilliant.
That's how that game is set. Well done. No, but you're close.
Is it another survival horror style game?
It's a Silent Hill clone. Or maybe it's not a clone, but in the spirit of clones.
Is it Clock Tower?
No.
Alone in the Dark?
No. You're doing really well, but no.
Alan Wake?
Yes. Got there.
Okay.
Have you played Alan Wake?
I own it.
No, oh, for God's sake. Have you installed it?
No, I've never installed it.
Okay.
But Alan Wake 2 came out, so like everybody's banging on about it. Oh, maybe I should try and play it. Apparently it's more psychological than it is psychological horror.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we both like survival horror, both like Silent Hill.
Yeah.
Should be on the list, but I think it's the name Alan. Maybe it washes better in America, but... Alan.
There's a dance music composer guy called Alan Walker, which always makes me mixes it up with me as well.
Alan Walker, Alan Wake, Alan Woke.
Alan Woke.
Alan Woke.
Alan. There it is. Have you ever played Alan Woke?
No, I've only played the prequel, Alan Wake. No, the... Wake? Woke. I Woke? I Wake? The sequel, Alan Wake.
Right. Okay. You ready for your question?
I am.
Juan Aguasate...
Yeah, my favorite aguacate.
I don't know, aguacate. Aguacate is the protagonist of which game series?
Juan.
Yeah, Juan.
Juan, like Juan.
J-U-A-N. Juan.
Juan. Who has?
Which should be the only clue you need as to what this game series is. However, if you were at gunpoint to say, do you know any Mexican-themed game series? I would be... Nah. Just kill me now.
Mexican-themed... The only Mexican-themed game I can think of is... Grim Fandango or Samba de Amiga?
Yeah, those two. Yeah, exactly. Those are good shouts. Well done. But no, it's not that.
Isn't there like one of the... Is one of the Just Causes set down that way?
Probably.
Down that way. South America. Central or South America.
Yeah.
Juan Azrim. Juan.
Juan Aguasate.
Aguasate. No, no idea.
So the series is... Maybe we can get there. If you are not a
Silent Hill.
No, it's not. If you're not a range fighter, you are a what fighter?
Close combat.
Another word for that.
Melee.
Yeah, okay, cool. And if you had avocados, you could make a popular Mexican dish.
Oh, is it guacamole?
Yes, it's guacamole. I didn't know that was a series.
Yeah. I vaguely know it's a game, let alone a... But have you played Guacamelee?
No.
I've heard good things.
Okay, cool.
You ready for your next one?
Yeah, hit me.
Okay, we're going to get at least one right here. Oh, no, we're not. What are the four names for...
No, I hate it already.
...of the three playable characters from Grand Theft Auto V?
Oh my god.
I know. I thought, oh yeah, you'll get this because I, you know.
Yeah, GTA 5.
Yeah, I just squeezed the question and the answers together, but no, that's really tough.
Right. Trevor, Michael, and... Oh my god, I just talked about these guys as well.
Remember the white guys.
Oh god.
And that other guy, I didn't play as him very much.
No, I mean, was it...
He has the best...
Chris?
He has the best... Driving. Ultimate, yeah.
Yeah.
Franklin!
Yeah. Trevor Phillips.
Yes.
Wow. Michael, does it begin with C?
No.
Is it Michael Scott from The Office?
Yes, it is. No, Michael DeSanta.
DeSanta. And Franklin...
It's the name of a...
Roosevelt?
He's a former American president.
Oh, okay. Well, that's where his name came from. Lincoln.
No.
Washington.
No.
Bush.
No, you've only got like 40 odd left.
Oh god. Garfield.
Franklin Bush. Garfield, what a pull, no.
Like
it's one in our lifetime.
One in our lifetime. Clinton.
Yeah. Yes.
Nice. Nice former president. I went way, way back. Lincoln.
Oh, I know. Jesus Christ. Garfield?
I don't know. It's one of those pub quiz questions. I know them, but I can rattle them off. That was a tough question. Right. Okay. You on to yours?
Yes, please. Doing really badly in this round.
You're going to get this one. Okay. You ready?
Yeah. Yeah.
In what game
does
the player control a goose that terrorizes an idyllic English village?
Zangoose? Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire. Untitled Goose Game.
Correct. Well done. Nailed
Yay.
It.
Yay. 4 points. 1 point some. 1 point.
4 points. Let's just call it 4 points.
We nailed it. Let's just round it up. 4 points. Yeah. Well done, everybody. Yeah, exactly. That's the end of the middle of the podcast. That's the end of break time.
Cool. Okay, so we move on to... Segment two.
Phase
second
two.
Second part of our show, which is discussing Snap.
Snap.
So, as we know, the popular Pokemon Snap game is about taking pictures of Pokemon rather than shooting demons in the head. So, let's talk about games which feature cameras as some kind of mechanic within them. Pokemon Snap, of course. Very, very easy. Did you ever complete the remake, or is it a remake or the sequel to Pokemon Snap?
A sequel? No, it's very good. It's just too big and way too complicated and hard towards the end in terms of...
Yeah.
I just find it really stressful.
For a game that is intensely slow,
it's slow.
It is really stressful.
It's really pretty, but then as you keep rerunning the routes, and you know that there's like, you know, I've not completed the Pokédex for this route, and you're kind of looking around, but then when you're zoomed in, you're fully aware that you can't see what's happening around you, or what's happening behind you. It's at a certain point in the stage where, you know, a Dedenne runs out, and if you're not facing the right direction, you're going to miss it. Plus, is it something that's triggered by the apple, or the scent ball, or the music, or the jingle? So you just kind of
end up
hysterically spinning around, throwing, playing music, looking everywhere, zooming in, zooming out. Yeah, really, really stressful.
Yeah, and the thing is, the loop for that game is like you have to do some things, you need to choose, you can also level up the areas so that more Pokemon will appear and all that sort of stuff. That you spend all your time doing that thing, then you finally get a chance to actually take a picture or go and actually do a run, and it takes ages for it to happen. And then after you're done, you then have to do a whole lot of bullshit with the what's it called? One of the professors, he's just like, no, you need to choose your favorite picture. Do you want to edit it? Do you want to post it online? And then he's just like, oh my god. And then you'll get a notification from one of the other two kids that are for some reason taking pictures of Pokemon, and it's just like, I want to rerun the thing quickly because it's fresh in my mind that I know where that Krabby is. And I miss taking a picture of him. And I can definitely get him to come closer. You know, that sort of thing, you know?
Also, much later on, you unlock, Speed Shot.
Oh, lovely.
So you can just burn through your film in the first 10 seconds of each course.
Brilliant.
Trying to get the perfect picture of whatever. And then you can kind of hurry yourself up through the rest of the course, but just hope you don't see something especially wonderful and rare. And then I think it would be bad enough with that alone, but you get, as you said, you get these missions keep popping up, which essentially just point you to, there's something here you haven't found yet. There's one of them, I couldn't remember what it was. It's on the first level, when you kind of go past, I think like a bunch of Bidoof and Bibarel, I just could not like take the right photo for what it wanted, or
yeah,
trigger some particular scene that it wanted me to capture. It's very frustrating. So yeah, so I did get to the credits and then played it a bit afterwards, because there's that free update where there's like the level where you're tiny and all the Pokemon are giant.
Yeah. That was cool, yeah.
But I feel the next time I play it will just be sat with a guide.
Yeah.
You know, just following exact steps to trigger the special Vivillon or the...
But the thing is, it would have been a very, very nice, relaxing game if you didn't need to, because there was a point where I didn't care about a lot of that, and I was just like, oh, okay, I'm just taking pictures. It was nice at the start, but the loop is too long. Like, it would have been nice if I could just, hey, okay, I've done this one, right, I can move on to the next one. But no, there's uploading photos, there's choosing and deciding, there's a million animations to cycle through.
Well, you can just do it. You can just hit, like, choose for me.
Yeah, I know, but it's like there's still an animation that has to happen where it's like it flicks through the photos. Oh, this one's my favorite, blah, blah, blah. And just shut up. And you're going to cycle through his tech. Yeah, it just bugged me. Anyway. Right. Pokemon Snap is a game which involves cameras. For a little while, sort of maybe about 8 years ago, maybe a bit more, every game had a selfie mode. Do you remember this?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I remember with GTA 5.
GTA 5. Even World of Warcraft had a selfie mode. Yep.
So what were you taking a selfie on? A wand?
So, like, you know World of Warcraft, it's got like guns and shit like that in it, so... A gnome sends you on a quest to make a selfie stick, essentially. Yeah.
That's such a weird... Because there's one in Pokemon Violet as well, right? An actual selfie stick.
Yeah.
But it's kind of strange because you don't see them in real life as much as you used to anymore.
No. Do you know what I see tourists doing I always find very weird?
What's that?
Is they bring out a tablet to take pictures of things.
Yeah.
I don't get that. It's like, who brings a tablet, like a big full-on one, and takes a picture of things? And sort of like, it's also like it's like somebody carrying around a dinner plate and then just blocking your view with a dinner plate every so often. It's really rude.
But I think maybe, you know, the image editing and sharing options might have their preferred mode, social media.
I guarantee they're exactly the same.
Yeah, that is strange.
Right. That was a weird tangent. Video games which feature camera modes. Or indeed camera functionality. Dead Rising is a favourite of yours. I remember there was camera functionality in the first Dead Rising game.
Yeah, there is. And then it was brilliant. But then I'm not entirely sure they didn't bring it back with the various Frank West special DLC.
Yeah, the fourth one is Frank West again as well, isn't it?
But do you remember there's that amazing DLC with him, in one of the games? Oh god, yeah. Every episode we talk about Frank fucking West, and I've played one and a half of the games and you've never played. Like,
I've never finished Dead Rising because it's too stressful.
Obsessed. It is too stressful. But the first one had this, because you are a journalist, this amazing photo mode where when you're in dire straits and situations, or like, you know, stranded on top of a gazebo in the middle of the food court, surrounded by hordes of zombies, you can take photos and it would come up with little ratings, like funny and sexy and whatever.
So it's like, yeah, if you would get like a mannequin in the background in a funny pose and stuff like that. Yeah. I love that. That was really good.
If you spread like oil over the floor so that all the zombies are slipping around and you're taking photos of them. Excellent. Yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah.
That was great. And I like photo modes like that where, you know, at any point you can, Well, first of all, I am a big fan of photo modes. I think particularly because we come from a generation where, as I said 100 times before, you'd see, you know, the, one of the new cutscenes, or you come across a cutscene for the first time in Final Fantasy VII, and it blew your mind, like the Junon cannon firing, or
the
bit where they get in that bike and they head out of Midgar. And essentially, to see that again, you'd have to replay the game or have like a string of save files just before, oh, this cool cutscene triggers. And there's no way to kind of capture stop and share, whereas these days, all the consoles and PCs have these tools for a while. You can kind of capture video, capture screenshots, and then even better, these games which give you a mode in the game to kind of take photos and pose them and filters and stuff like this. So I really appreciate it, because I remember you just have your memory to stand in for when things happened or what things happened.
I think the photo modes, I get where you're coming from, and I agree, it's great that that functionality exists. I wish I used it more. That's one of the weird things. I don't trigger, like on the Switch, you literally have a button for any game that you want. You can just, hey, I'm going to take a photo right now, or take a 10-second video.
Yeah.
And the trigger to take a picture just doesn't happen for me anymore. Even on Steam, it's very easy to take a screenshot at any point. I did for a while. I played the entirety of Mortal Kombat X, sorry for talking about Mortal Kombat. I took pictures every single time one of the ridiculously sized chests came out. So the game, it was so stupid. Like, you, of course, you've got these incredibly macho men, but all of the women, for some reason, had these massive, massive chests. I just took pictures every single time. And I think I wanted to do a blog post.
Oh, you can find blog posts at www.thatguys.co.uk, readers.
Yeah, entirely based on that. But it was just sort of like this fruitless effort. Now, if you go to my Steam library and look at my pictures of games, I've just literally got Mortal Kombat 9 or 10.
Yeah.
Just pictures of tits, and I'm just terrible. It's just this weird Mortal Kombat pervert guy.
Well, I found myself doing something equally kind of probably a bit bizarre in Grand Theft Auto 5, because the phone camera you can whip out was, you know, kind of had functionality like a phone, so you could do filters and whatever. And so if you look at my, must be PlayStation 3 photo library. Oh no, that's right. It's at the time it was logged through whatever Rockstar's thingy was.
So you had to upload it through Rockstar, yeah. I know you
through Rockstar's it, yeah. Star Club or something, and then yeah, you know, that's a login that I no longer have. But if anyone was following me on that or watching my feed, it was just like really arty photos of corpses lying in piles of blood.
Brilliant. That's good effort, man. Good effort.
It's like really melancholy. You know, where we have a corpse whose leg was bent over backwards, or someone's just face down in a street whilst people mill around. Yeah. Grim.
Cool. Yeah. And I suppose we need to talk about Fatal Frame again. Another series that we played maybe 2 or 3 decades ago, and there's been a million other iterations since that neither of us have played.
Yeah. Such a great mechanic.
It is. So the concept is you can't see the ghosts.
Face your fear.
Yeah.
And there was in Metal Gear Solid 3, Snake Eater, there was a whole bunch of hidden ghosts, and there's some kind of reward for finding them all. So you had a photo, which in the story you had like a little spy camera,
So in the story, you had to, at various points, or maybe just at one point, you had to take some photos. But you could use it throughout the game. And then, yeah, just in certain places, you'd see these ghostly figures, which you had to capture. I think it was like developers, you know, photos of the devs.
Oh, right, okay.
Kind of made to look spooky. But that was kind of cool. But the first time you discover it, you know, not knowing that there are, you're like, what the fuck is that? Just pulling out the camera and there's this spooky, creepy image just hanging out there.
Cool.
There we go.
Right, photos and games, fantastic.
Photos and games. Did you ever play that game with the woman and the pig?
Oh, Beyond Good and Evil.
Yes.
I own it.
It's very good, because she's a photojournalist. And a huge part of that game is kind of trying to take photos of various hidden animals around the place.
Okay.
Which was a really, really fun part of it. But, so I hadn't thought about Beyond Good and Evil for ages. And I don't think I finished it when I originally played it. Is the second one out now? Who knows?
I want to say yes. But probably not.
And then I was watching an animated thing on Netflix the other day, which is loosely...
Oh, is this the one where Rayman was doing like coke or something like that?
Yeah. Oh God, what is it? Captain Laserhawk, a Blood Dragon remix. God knows why I was watching that. Because I like the idea of Blood Dragon, I think. Yeah. Even though it has nothing to do with it whatsoever, beyond like a vaguely 80s trappings. So yeah, I was decided to watch that, and then I was like, hang on, that's Rayman. Okay, like Ubisoft, fair enough. And then there are characters clearly inspired by Jade and the pig dude. And there's a little French frog who's an assassin from the Assassin's Creed.
Brilliant.
The whole thing is so fucking strange, but not bad either. It's not awful. But yeah, it was just weird that there's these references which I was getting in the middle of this thing, which I really wasn't anticipating to find them. And it's particularly surprising because for years people were like, oh, was there nothing happening with Beyond Good and Evil? And there they are, tucked away in this anime that nobody watched on Netflix.
I mean, is it Western or is it actually an anime?
I think it's like a Western anime.
Okay.
If you know what I mean.
Wanime?
A wanime. Weeb away.
don't go down there.
Are you Beyond Good and Evil 2?
Yeah, I'm out? Just looking at it now. Apparently, there's a website for it. I'm just looking at the Wikipedia page because it'll tell me yes or no. Is it out yet? Is it vaporware? Oh, okay. Huh. Open world.
What?
I don't get this.
Me neither. I'm looking at the website and I've read it.
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. Is it a joke? Is it a hoax? Is it a AR game? Is it live? Is it out? Is it not out?
Right. Okay. Here we go. In July 2021, Ubisoft stated a financial report that development was progressing well, but did not answer a question about its release date. In 2022, Beyond Good and Evil 2 broke the record held by Duke Nukem Forever for the longest development of a video game at more than 15 years. In July 2023, the creative director, Emily Morrell, died suddenly at age 40.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So I don't know if that means it is stopped. But yeah,
here we go. I'm on the FAQs.
Okay, okay.
When does Beyond Good and Evil 2 come out? We've not yet announced the release date.
Great.
There's a whole like Space Monkey program, which I think is their way of signing up for a beta. Ah, video games. There is something to be said about when they just came out and you didn't know they were out and then you just bought them and you're like, oh, what is this?
Yeah. That still exists. That still exists.
Rather than being on a website trying to work out if the game is out or not and what it is. And
I'm going to say it's not.
Also, it's just place platforms, PlayStation 4, Xbox One.
Okay. Yeah, probably not.
Oh, well. Anyway, Beyond Good and Evil had a good camera mode.
Yeah, great. Fantastic. I think we...
One more honorary mention. One more. Is a game called Africa. I mention it every time we talk about photo game.
Okay.
Which didn't come out.
Okay, great.
In the West, well, I only had a limited release, but it was essentially like on the PlayStation 3, a terrestrial endless ocean, if you like, which also has an excellent photo mode. See, where you're hired as a photojournalist and you have to go and take photos on the savannah of all these beautiful animals.
Oh, that's quite cool. Yeah.
Yeah, but never got a European release.
I wonder if they would do something like that for like the Deer Hunter games. You know that series where you stalk and stuff like that. But instead of like shooting them with a sniper, you just take a picture.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm sure there are the parody.
In fact, wasn't that a dinosaur one or something like that?
Anyway, there is not. There are many dinosaur hunter games, yeah.
Which
are kind of loosely based on the obsessive detail, high resolution, sit in one spot for 4 months deer hunting games. But yeah, it's a nice idea, and a couple of games have played with the idea of, you know, well, essentially it's the same as Pokemon Snap, but what if it's instead of being a rail shooter, it's a rail shooter. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Bring it to an end, bring it to a close. That guy's a maniac.
Put it out of its misery. Why do you bite me?